Of the Father's love begotten, ere the worlds began to be, he is Alpha and Omega, he the source, the ending he. Of the things that are that have been, and that future years shall see, evermore and evermore. O that birth forever blessed, when the Virgin full of grace, by the Holy Ghost conceiving, bore the Savior of our race. And the babe, the world's Redeemer, first revealed his sacred face, evermore and evermore. O ye heights of heaven, adore him, angel hosts his praises sing, all dominions bow before him and extol our God and King. Let no tongue on earth be silent, every voice in concert ring, evermore and evermore. Christ to thee with God the Father, and O Holy Ghost to thee, him enchant and high thanksgiving, and unwearied praises be. Honor, glory, and dominion, and eternal victory, evermore and evermore.
Thank you, Brian. That song is over 1,000 years old, I believe he shared. And I couldn't help but think while he was singing there how when I go to pastors' conferences, there's often wars there among preachers, the worship wars. What style of music do you have in your church? Do you like the new music? Do you like the old music? And I usually say, well, yes. If it glorifies Jesus Christ and I can understand the words, I love the new music. But how about old classics like that? Wow, thank you, God. Well, friends, we made it. Go ahead and wave at your neighbor right now and say, you made it. The last Sunday of 2020, the last Sunday of 2020, a year and a holiday here at Christmas like we have never experienced before, at least in my lifetime of 61 years, and I hope we never experience it again. I wrote some Christmas cards to some very special folks, and someone wrote back and said, you know, I just knew you were going to sign one of them. It was written to me, Good Riddance 2020, and I said, No, God was here in 2020, friends. God was a part of your life and my life in 2020, but it wasn't the typical year that we knew before. You and I couldn't assemble together with our family and friends for Christmas and all the celebrations, the Thanksgiving and hunting season, all the things before, but it still was a glorious year. I'll be sharing some reports here during the body of my sermon today and tell you how God really worked. But think about this right now. You and I woke up to a little gift on Christmas morning. Bing Crosby wrote a song years ago, I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas. Raise your hand if you've ever sung that song. Yes, well, you lived it out this year. We woke up to 4 or 5 inches of snow, and much of us still out there today, a gift from God just to show us that he hasn't forgotten about us. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be made as white as snow. Every time I see snow, I think about Isaiah's writing there in Isaiah 1:18. But also, I had a very special Christmas morning because what I had prayed for Christmas came to life, came to me. I won't say it came from Santa, but it came from my dentist. Because I broke a 6-year-old molar, and guess what I got for Christmas? A new crown, a new $1,000 crown. And all of God's children said, amen, because you've probably been there as well. But that's what I got for Christmas. And I thought, well, that's nothing to be ashamed of. I thank God for my dentist, a wonderful dentist, and all the dentists are here in this area. But it reminded me of a song that was written back in 1944 by a school teacher, a second grade school teacher in Smithtown, New York. And when he asked his boys and girls there in the second grade, right before they were dismissed for Christmas in 1944, said, what do you want for Christmas? He noticed the boys and girls were missing their front teeth. Many of them said, I want a bicycle. I want to say, I want a baby doll. And he realized they were talking with a lisp. And you know the song he wrote, the little ditty that was made popular, all I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. Friends, I lived that out this year. All I wanted for Christmas, Dr. Julian, was my one back tooth. Amen? And I got it, so it's doing me well. Well, folks, if you didn't like that little story, you're going to like this one as well. You know, this Christmas right now, a lot of us have cabin fever. We're deciding when do we take down the tree, all the hoopla, much of the food's been picked over, all those things. And we got to be on our guard. We got to be careful. We don't let the glory and the splendor of Christmas pass us by. We want to spend time with God as never before. And with our families, we're allowed to, at least over the phone or Skype, whatever, that's what we're doing. But also with your spouse. And I heard a story this week that a guy borrowed the old joke of a man and a woman who were arguing. This time they were arguing about the whole Christmas hoopla. When do we take down the decorations? Who's going to do it? You get excited putting them up, don't you? When it's time to take them down, you're like, you know, we'll just wait another week. Well, they were arguing back and forth. And the man was very rude. And he did something he should never do. He spoke to his wife in a very vile voice. And he said, I just don't understand it. How could the God of wonder who sent his perfect Christ child to us, the gift gave you to me as a gift? How can you be so beautiful and yet so stupid? He used that word. She quickly responded. She said, honey, God made me beautiful so you would love me. He made me stupid so I would love you. Friends, now's not the time to call one another stupid. Now's not the time to turn on one another. Now's not the time for churches to have worship wars and arguing over styles of music and dress code. Now's if the church was ever needed, if the family was ever needed, it is now. We get a brand new start, a brand new year, and a brand new you just days away. I'm going to invite you to adopt our theme here, which I'll be delivering today into your life. You can reach one person next year, one person. Before we unpack that, let's go ahead and pray to God right now. Father, it's been good to assemble in your house again here on this splendid Sunday, the last Sunday of 2020. But I ask you to remove me and reveal yourself through your holy word, through your holy scriptures, to the people at home, those listening by radio, they're going down the road on 103.1, The Bear, and also those of us who have assembled here on your behalf. Save souls, touch hearts, change lives. Almighty God, this is something we got to do on Sundays. This is something we get to do, not only on Sundays, but Monday and throughout the week. We have come to worship you and to hear from you. So allow us to put up our antennas and to hear the voice of God today. We thank you for laughter. How it maketh for a good medicine, the Bible says. But right now we'll get serious about completing the Christmas story. May we never forget that Jesus truly is the reason we've assembled here today and the reason for this season. We love you and we pray this in your name. Everyone at home and here said alike, amen and amen. Luke chapter 2, friends. Luke chapter 2 is our text for today. I invite you to turn with me. We'll be completing the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2. It just wouldn't be Christmas if we didn't do that. So right now, Luke chapter 2, Folks, we've been tracing the steps of the coming of Jesus Christ. You find down here the Advent, which is the anticipation. We have the Advent candles up here today on display as a reminder that Christ has come and He is coming again. But you see the Advent of Jesus Christ, the anticipation of Christ's coming, then the announcement of the angel to the Virgin Mary, then to Joseph, and of course to Elizabeth, and to Zacharias, and then the arrival, yes, that first Christmas morning. The Advent, the announcement, the arrival, and now we've made our way up to verse number 21 and following. We have the adoration. Oh, come let us adore Him. I love this song. We just sang that song here together. Oh, come let us adore Him. Friends, I'm not going to be expounding much on the text today. I want to invite you and your family to go back and consider two people, Simeon and Anna. After Jesus was born, also played a part in the Christmas story. Make sure you teach your children as well as yourself the importance of Simeon and what took place here 8 days after the birth of Jesus Christ. Here we are in verse number 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Joseph. Is that what the Bible says? No, it's Jesus. Now see, back in this day, Joseph's name should have been passed down. But he says, this isn't my child, this is the child of God, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus, salvation for all, which is the name of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Verse 22, and when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses was accomplished, speaking of Mary, they brought Jesus to Jerusalem to present Him to the Lord. Friends, verse 21 and 22 reminds us that according to the Mosaic law, the mother of a male child was unclean. So on the eighth day, the boy was circumcised, but the mother remained unclean for 33 more days, after which she presented a burnt offering and a sin offering for her cleansing. And so if you look in your Bible over in the margin, you're going to probably see Leviticus chapter 12. If you have a reference Bible, over in the margin, you're going to probably find Leviticus chapter 12 listed as comprising verses 21 and 22. So verse 23 says, "It is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice," verse 24 probably is underlined in your Bible and for good reason. Verse 24 of Luke chapter 2, "And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons," was supposed to be given here as an offering for this newborn child. Friends, this is a strong suggestion, i.e. evidence that the wise men didn't show up until much later, not at the manger scene, but in a house much later, probably when Jesus was a toddler, certainly not a newborn infant. If so, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, we know, could have been exchanged for the funds to buy the lamb, but they didn't. So their poverty is obvious here in verse 24. When someone asks you, why don't you have the wise men in your manger scene? Why did Eric, who wrote this splendid children's program this year, why did he have a set break? Why did he have a scene division? Why did he divide the birth of Jesus in the manger and then the coming of the wise men later? Because it's biblical. They showed up much later, and one of the strongest evidences in the Bible is they could not afford to offer the lamb, as recorded here in verse 24. And you look over, you find the book of Leviticus and Exodus there as well with the requirements. Thank you for allowing me to be a teaching pastor as you want to learn biblically. Amen? Yes. So behold, in verse 25 comes Simeon. I love old Simeon. "There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel." That word consolation really just means the comfort of Israel. He'd been waiting all of his life. This was promised to him. He knew, "I would not taste death until I see the Christ child." The Holy Ghost was upon Simeon, verse 25. And verse 26, "And it was revealed unto Simeon by the Holy Ghost that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." Friends, this was a promise that was performed. Let me say it again. A promise that was performed. You realize everyone here and everyone at home has the same promise from God. Those who desire to see Jesus in a very personal and profound way, can do so. You get to see him again in heaven. But not everybody elects to accept that promise. You think about this. It's appointed a man once to die, Hebrews 9:27. Then comes the judgment. People are not going to be able to stick their finger in God's face and say, you sent me to hell. No one's going to be able to do that. They're not going to be able to stomp their foot and say, I didn't have a chance. Jesus is saying, no. I gave you Holy Scriptures. I gave you the Holy Spirit. I gave you holy servants. You know. You know that I came the first time and I'm coming again. You must believe and receive. You and I get to see Jesus again. That would be a great place for us to say, amen. Let's say it together. Amen. We get to see Jesus Christ again just like Simeon did. As promised to the Holy Scriptures by the Holy Ghost of God, the pneumos of God, who poured over 40 different men, 1,500 years, and wrote the Holy Bible. Aren't you glad you're in a Bible church? Huh? Aren't you glad God gave us a full account of the Christmas story? And the Spirit of God came into the temple, you see. He came by the Spirit in verse 27. This is a divine appointment, a date with deity. And by the Spirit into the temple, when the parents brought the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, we just saw over here earlier, that Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Now some translations say, Lord, thank you. As you have promised me, I have now experienced your blessing. He said, mine eyes, verse 30, have seen the salvation. And then, folks, in verse 31, he says, which you have prepared before the face of all people. Yes. Friends, I like to be, a Bible expositor, so let me expose something that's not new to me, but many Bible scholars, much greater than me, have pointed out. The first time you see the mention of salvation to the Jews and the Gentiles after the birth of Jesus is right here in verse 32. After the birth of Jesus, Jesus didn't only come for the Jews, he also came for the Gentiles, which would include you and me, a light to lighten the Gentiles. A light, you see that in verse 32? Yes, Jesus came as a light, the light of the world, John 8:12, to the Gentiles and the glory of God's people Israel, to the Jews as well. Well, Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken to him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising against of many in Israel and for a sign which shall be spoken against. And he talks about verse 35, what you'd be experiencing. Yes, a sword shall pierce through your own souls. You're going to see what he goes through. Yes, through the hearts of many will be revealed. He said, get ready. I know who this baby is. Let me say it again. Simeon said, get ready, Mary and Joseph. You think you know? I also know because the Holy Ghost told me. Friends, I would include me and you in Simeon's army. You and I know who Jesus is. We have the consolation of Israel. We have the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We can be excited at Christmas before, during, and after America and the world celebration. You and I know the truth. The light of the world has come, and he's coming again. Oh, thank you, God. Well, another woman was here. Her name was Anna. And you find Anna, verse 36, and all the way down, and how she played a part. She also got to see the baby Jesus. But friends, we saw the announcement, the advent, the anticipation, the arrival, and of course now the adoration. Everybody, oh come, let us adore this baby Jesus. But he didn't remain a baby. He advanced in years. If you look in Luke chapter 2, you'll see, you find him next about 12 years of age. We don't know much about his childhood, but I know this. Let me brag on Jesus for a moment. Mary had something that none of the rest of us did. She had the perfect child. You think about that. Mary had the perfect child. If I ask any mother or grandmother here, do you love your children and grandchildren? Hands would go up. Oh, yes. Woo-hoo. You talk about me. Don't you talk about my children. I'll scratch your eyes out. Sounds like a woman, doesn't it? Men, we go, yeah, I know. That boy, he's dumb as a box of rocks. He's just like his daddy, just like me, like his papa. Men, we don't take it personal. Women, they take it personal. You talk about the children and the grandchildren, them's fighting words. But no woman could say to Mary, your child, Jesus, was disrespectful, was disobedient, wasn't the perfect child. He was the perfect child who advanced in years. You'll find this, verse 39 and 40. But folks, notice with me in verse 40 alone how Jesus grew. Hold on to that word right there. How Jesus grew and became strong in the Spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Let's fast forward to verse 52, please. Verse 52 of Luke 2, talking about how Jesus increased, how he advanced in age. Jesus increased how? In wisdom, intellectually, in stature, physically, in favor, spiritually, and with God and man, socially. The late, great Dwight Pentecost said that. Every preacher needs some heroes. And apart from Jesus, I have a few authors I really admire. Dwight Pentecost is at the top. At the top. Bancroft, Thiessen, Ironside, they're right there at the top. Friends, these guys are of old. I know there's some new scholars out there. I admire many of them, but let's stay with the text. Let's don't try to be fanciful when it comes to the birth and life and the ministry of Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's stand where we stood when it all started. These guys of old, the Dwight Pentecost and Bancroft and Thiessen and all the others, they understood what was taking place here, how Jesus grew intellectually, physically, spiritually, socially. Yes, he was all God and yet all man. And his life was lived out for some 33 years to die so you and I could live. Let's finger through the book of Luke here. Just kind of go through. You'll see the life and ministry of Jesus. But for sake of time, I want you to consider one other quick story here. Found in Luke chapter 8. How Jesus had power over the seas, how he had power over demons, how he had power over diseases, all these things. There was a man here. Nay, there was two men, the book of Matthew records. You have the Synoptic Gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Synoptic meaning similar. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are very, very similar. And John stands alone. John, he doesn't have the birth of Jesus, the early ministry of Jesus here. But you have the Synoptic Gospels recording the story of these two men, one specifically here in Luke chapter 8, that was demonically possessed. Can you and I be demonically possessed today? Not if we have the Spirit of God living within us. 1 Corinthians 6:19, 3:16, and many other places. We can be oppressed. Sure we can. Sure we can. We can be oppressed by the demons and the devil himself, but we can't be possessed. This vessel, this temple, can only be housed by one Spirit, and that's another reason for us to be saved. Well, you find this man here is living in the tombs with as much as 2,000, one gospel says, 2,000 swine there, this herd of pigs, showing it had a great influence of Gentiles in this area. Not only the Jews, but the Gentiles, because the Jews didn't want to be around a bunch of pigs. So you had this Gentile region outside of the Sea of Galilee, and this man was crying out, cutting himself to the point of death, and Jesus shows up. Here's the power of God, an extension. This is the advancement, what I'm saying today. Jesus shows up, and he heals this man. Of course, you know he called the demons out into this herd of swine. They went over the cliff. They killed themselves. Everything should be great and glorious, but not everybody was happy with this. But I'd like to call attention to today's title, please. 457 times in the Bible I can find, 457 times in the Bible I can find this expression, and it came to pass. Five simple words, say that with me, and it came to pass. One more time, and it came to pass. Folks, 457 times I can find, perhaps there's other occasions, that refers to life passing by. The life of Jesus, some 33 years. In a flash, it was here and it was gone, but he lives forever. You and I can live forever through Christ Jesus. This man or these two men here who are demonically possessed, influenced, they're now in the grave. And yet this man was saved by God, delivered by God. This is important. Luke chapter 8, let me just call attention to verse 39 and 40. It said, he told this man, this one particular man, he said, I want you to return to your house and show what great things God has done unto you. You see that in Luke chapter 8, verse 39? And the man went his way. He was made known. He published this throughout the whole city, the great things that Jesus had done to him. Jesus didn't come just to be adored in a manger. He came to fulfill God's laws. He said, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill the law. I come to heal the sick, the wounded, the afflicted. Folks, it wasn't long ago I received a letter from someone I know that has had death in her family this year, has had divorce in her family this year, has a loss of jobs in her family this year, and now they have the COVID in her family this year. What? You think your life stinks right now? You think you're going through a struggle? Compare notes to the letter I just delivered to you. Compare notes to this man who was cutting himself, who couldn't even go around the townspeople. This man was in dire need of salvation, dire need of a touch from heaven. And Jesus shows up on the scene. Thank God that Jesus didn't stay in the manger. Thank God he's just an icon we worship. Thank God he's the living Christ, the light of the world. That'd be a great place for everyone to say, thank God that Jesus Christ was born, lived, and died for the sins of mankind. Well, here we see the power of Jesus, verse 39. But verse 40, you can find that phrase. If you're using some of the old texts, the RSV, the ASV, King James, New King James, and it came to pass. There it is. There it is. This is one example of 450 plus that I can find. It came to pass in verse 40 that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him. They were all waiting for him. Think about that. And it came to pass. They were waiting on Jesus here. I'm asking you right now, we're closing out this year. This year is about to pass. And all of God's children said, amen and good riddance. Now you sound like my friend. Amen and goodbye. But friends, life is passing us every single day. We must seize the moment. Seize the moment regardless what the environment is, regardless what the situation is, with or without masks, with or without money, with or without jobs. We've got to seize the moment and make sure we still realize who Jesus is, was, and going to be. Let's fast forward to the last day of Jesus' life, shall we? Go to the last page of the book of Luke. I'm going to hurry here. The last page of the book of Luke. Go to me, Luke chapter 24, verse number 51. Luke 24, verse 51. If you still have one of the older translations, you're going to see another time when I found that phrase, and it came to pass. Here's where Jesus ascended back to God the Father. Think about this. His disciples who weren't there, who were not there at the tomb when he rose from the tomb, but they were here when he rose back to God the Father, when he ascended back to God the Father. Verse number 50, Jesus led them out as far as to Bethany. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them, his early disciples and the other audience there, and it came to pass. His 33 years passed like that. Like that. Just that quick. Just that quick. Take your life right now. Say you're 60 years of age. Divide it in half. 30 years ago? Folks, that seems like yesterday. It does in my life. Do you feel the same thing sometimes? What happened to the last 30 years? Think about the life of Jesus, 33 years. 12 years at least, he's with his parents. So do the math. How long he really had? He began his earthly ministry at age 30. He began his earthly ministry at age 30 because you can only be recognized as a priest and speak in the temple at age 30. Who knew that? He wrote the scriptures. He knew what Levitical law mandated. He knew what the Mosaic covenants were. So he had 3 short years. It passed like that. And yet, look what all he accomplished. And it came to pass, verse 51, while Jesus blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into the heaven. Now, how did the people respond? The same way that you and I should today. They worshiped him then And they also went back to their homes with great joy. And what does verse 53 say? Well, you and I get experience here at First Fairly, and I pray in all Christ-honoring churches. They were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Not blessing me and you, blessing God. When people say, yeah, I don't really get nothing out of church. When I go to church, I don't really get nothing out of it. I say, I'm so sorry you've drawn the attention to yourself. You don't come to church for yourself. Look at verse 53. You come to church to worship God. It's about Him. My goodness. Since when do we take the glory of God and shine it on ourselves? Folks, it came to pass that Jesus died for you and for me. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our prayers. He's worthy of our worship. Look in verse 52 and 53. The early disciples got it. Do we get it? Folks, the coronavirus is soon going to pass, but the Word of God will never fade away. But the coronavirus has a lot of victims this year. Let me read to you from Dr. Tom Rainer. He's really the church growth expert in today's time, author of many books. He's one of our heroes in the faith. You probably get his periodicals, and I do as well. He works with Barna. He does a lot of polls. Here's the top five things. The top five things that Tom Rainer said that will go down in history on the backside of the coronavirus from 2020 that will be carried over in 2021. Number one, Dr. Tom Rainer says, here's what we can expect peeking into next year. At least 20% of churchgoers will not return to church in 2021. You think about that. Another reason for you and I to be falling on our knees and praying to God for lost souls, praying for our family and friends who've been caught up in the world, praying, not getting angry. I love when I talk to the deacons about this. Our deacon chairman, myself, we talked for an hour the other day on the phone about this. We're not condemning anyone, but you've been sucked in this vortex, this vacuum, this vacancy here. I can't go to church, but I'm going to fill up with everything else. And next year, once the vaccine is here, next year, once the mask comes down, Dr. Tom Rainer saying across the board, an estimated 20%+ will not return. That should break our hearts. They should be one to glorify and praise God in verse 52 and 53 like us. This one really saddens me. The second thing Dr. Tom Rainer said based on his polls and his investigations, he said many full-time pastors have already left the ministry and will not return. This is the highest record in history in America. Many, it's economics. They had to. Their churches closed up. They became bivocational. And then they said, you know what? I've still got to feed my family. So now they're in the full-time work world. I do like this part, 3, 4, and 5. Many mega churches will become micro churches. Listen to that. Many mega churches, you know, you and I know churches that run 1,000 or 10,000, will now become micro churches in order to be effective. Number four, emphasis will be placed on conversion rather than us. Think about this. Emphasis will be placed on conversion. It's a wake-up call to the church. 2021, a wake-up call to the church. Yes. It's not about us. It's bigger than us. It's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about the wake-up call that people are dying without Jesus Christ. We lost this year of door-to-door visitation. We lost this year of personal evangelism. And yet, many people are still saved. Many people are still discipled. We're going to be baptizing right here behind me soon. But think about this church in Kentucky. Not even a big church. They didn't lose the vision. They amped it up. Up to this date, they have baptized 506 people. 506 people in the face of this pandemic. And that's what Dr. Tom Rainer said. The mega churches will become micro churches. Emphasis will be placed more on conversion than on others. Number five, two new movements will be introduced and will continue to increase church adoption. And number two, church fostering. What does that mean? Struggling churches without pastors and declining attendance will be fostered, helped by other larger churches. That should bless our hearts. When I think about Phillips Brooks, who wrote one of the songs we sang there earlier, how he was interested in the church. Folks, it's not about red and yellow, black and white, Baptist, Methodist. It's about Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen? Let's come together. Well, you sound like you're ecumenical. Would you get over your theological self? Oh, my goodness. I remember when I sat in class and you have these religious charlatans come in as a guest speaker. And brother, they has wearing black suit and not blue suits, driving a Ford, not a Chevrolet. And if you weren't a Baptist, you weren't going to heaven. And I want to say, what? A Christian gets to go to heaven, not just a Baptist. I'm Baptist by conviction, but I'm a Christian by choice. Jesus Christ died for all people, amen? Red and yellow, black and white, young and old, everybody. We're the one that made the denominations. We're the one that's caused all the divisions. Next year is a chance for us to unite together. So think about this, year 2021. Here's the emphasis, 2021. Could you reach one person next year? 2021, who's your one? That's going to be our theme next year. I'm going to be talking to it with the deacons just briefly today. Folks, I still have on for the last Sunday of this year, focus on God. We had no idea when we adopted this theme last year. 2020 vision. You go to the eye doctor, you like to have perfect vision. The doctor says, boy, your vision is still perfect. It's 2020 vision. I said, what a great year for us to have 2020 vision in the face of this pandemic. Focus on God, not on the problems, but next year, think about this. We can carry our vision over. 2021, who's your one? Who's one? Is it too much to ask? 12 months, 365 days that you could witness to one person, a family member, a friend, a work associate, one person. You say, well, no, that's not too hard. Well, think about this. Everybody here could reach one person with a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and a church would double. If all churches got that vision, just one. Not 100, just one. I learned in the business world, goals should be aggressive, yes, but attainable also. If not, you'll get discouraged. Goals should be aggressive, yes, but also attainable. Folks, you can do it. I can do it. One person? Now, don't answer, but did you reach one person in 2020? How about 2019? How about 2018? You realize half the Southern Baptist churches, some 47,000 strong, didn't lead one person to Jesus Christ in 2019. No baptism. No. Now that does make me angry. Because we don't save people, but we deliver the mail. Amen? You and I get to deliver the good news of Jesus Christ. They're not focused. They're not purpose-driven. They may be doing a lot of things, but the Spirit of the living God who lives in this church and lives in my heart and your heart is the same God who's omnipresent. He's around this world. For churches, small and large, to go year after year after year, and nobody gets saved, nobody gets baptized, but we have a whole lot of banquets, a whole lot of covered dish, a whole lot of softball games, a whole lot of music, and nobody gets saved. What's going on? Is God not alive? Yes. Is Emmanuel not with us? Yes. Is not the Spirit of living God still willing to seek and save those which are lost? Yes. Well, friends, of what Dr. Tom Rainer said, but was everything bad in 2020? No. Let me give you some good examples here. I'm going to finish on a high. Let's see. The Southern Baptists through Lifeway. Lifeway just gave away 30,000 Bible to remote areas of Venezuela. Think about this. Just reported 2 weeks ago. 30,000 Bibles in the face of this pandemic was given away to remote areas of Venezuela. Prisoners already writing back how they got saved. Villages writing back how they got a Bible. Over 200 churches are getting on mules, bicycles, boats, and carrying these 30,000 Bibles that Lifeway gave. And that's, folks, that's our publishing house. So let me brag on Southern Baptist. Thank God. I feel like we have the greatest writers in the world. Right there as an example. 30,000 Bibles were given away, and God's still saving souls through His holy word. Think about this. The drop in positive flu cases so far, apart from spiritual things, how about this? Flu cases in America have dropped dramatically. Matter of fact, last year, 2019, 35 million people contracted the flu virus. 400,000 were hospitalized, and an estimated 40,000 died from the virus. This year, it's not even on the charts. You know what most physicians say? Well, either they're not reporting or the face mask are working. The face mask and washing the hands not spreading the virus. You think about that, the three W's. Where? Wait and wash works with the flu as well, not just the coronavirus. Wear your mask, wait your turn, 6 feet, and wash your hands. The flu's not even being reported this year. people being still saved and baptized in some remote areas of this world. And how about this one? God is still alive and well. God is still alive and well. I received a phone call or text really on Christmas Eve by a friend of mine whose mother passed away. Zora was a dear friend. Her husband was very, very vile. Without getting into it, I went to witness to her husband because Diane asked me to witness to her father. So here's the deal. Diane was a friend of mine, came to our church some. Her kids were in our youth department some, went to camp, all this and that. Diane Kipp were just good folks. And she said, my daddy's dying with cancer. I know he's lost. Would you go witness to him? And he was a very vile man. He gave me 5 minutes. I've never had that happen before. He said, go ahead, preacher. I'll give you 5 minutes. He gave me 5 minutes to share with him the whole Bible, the whole Bible. And I did to the best of my ability. Started in Genesis, the reason Jesus came. And finished in Revelation, the reason Jesus is coming again. 5 minutes, he goes, He said, yeah, you gave me a lot to think about, but not now. When I left his office, I was walking down Main Street. I heard a voice, Pastor Dallas. Pastor Dallas. It was his wife, Diane's mother, who I didn't even know was on the radar. She was in perfect health. But Zora said, Pastor Dallas, I was in the other room listening. I know my husband's lost, but I am too. Is that for me too? I said, of course. Right there on Main Street in downtown Northern Virginia, this woman got gloriously saved. Let's fast forward a little bit later. Her life was so changed, she influenced her husband. Oh, he wouldn't listen to me. He listened to her. He called me back up. He said, Preacher, I'm ready. Whatever my wife has, I want. I promise to listen this time. I went back and led the man to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. 2 weeks later, maybe three, I preached his funeral. Folks, I find comfort in the consolation of Christ. I find comfort in stories like that. When Diane said, Dallas, this is a Christmas like none other. The coronavirus and mama died. But praise God, I know where she is. She's with my daddy and Christ. Folks, that's why we're here, to share Jesus. Let me just share with you the last thing here, our theme. We're going to continue as this church to exalt the Savior. Most churches do that. To examine the Scriptures. Some churches do that. And to evangelize a sinner. Very few churches do that. Evangelism is going to be amped up next year. If you know you're heaven bound, if you know you've been saved, you've accepted Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, would you raise your hand? Right now. You're not ashamed of it? Thank you. I'm looking around the room. Every hand here is up. You're the one. Thank you. Put your hands down. You can reach one. I can reach one. You've already been saved, born again. You're heaven bound yourself. You're the vehicle. You're the Zora who can reach your family member. You're the Dallas who can share in 5 minutes the gospel story and reach a vile person. You already know in the back of your mind, you won't mention it out loud. You know a vile person who has said, I don't want to hear about God. Everything I've been through, through prayer and perseverance, you can be that one person in 2021 to reach just one. Just one. That's not very aggressive, Dallas. Just one person, just one. Each one can reach one. That's pretty aggressive when we all do this. What's not going to pass, we're passing. And it came to pass. I'm closing right here with this. This year has passed us by. But what's not going to pass in 2021? The name of Jesus Christ. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. Acts 4:12. Judgment will not pass. Just like the swine were cast out of this man, perhaps two men, judgment will not pass. The promises of God will not pass. Think about that. Let's finish out 2020 big for Jesus as we start preparing for 2021. And certainly what's not going to pass, the importance of prayer and worship. Friends, all I can do is deliver it. But God can convict you.